Well, we've still got the main event, which is Chad Gaynor against Adelanwa, which is a cracking fight. Rotherham versus Leeds, two young kids, two kids that are wanting to fight for British titles. That's a championship fight. That's an international masters welterweight fight over 10 rounds. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be a cracking fight. On the undercard, there was supposed to be Maxie Hughes in a massive step up against Joseph Larrea, who came over and fought Ricky Burns for the WBO world title a couple of years back. But the most unbelievable reason for a fight falling through at the last minute has happened to me. We got him over from Ghana. He's here. We've got him up to our hotel at the Holiday Inn in Rotherham. And I get a phone call saying he's out. He can't fight. He's injured. I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Why? Apparently, he's stopped off in Turkey, which is connecting flight, gone to the toilet, fell over, slipped over, whatever you want to call it, and smashed his shoulder up. Now, I'm fuming at this point when I'm getting told. His promoter in Ghana is telling me, no, he's fighting. My man who's there, Damien Harry, who works for us at Coa Boxing, he's there with him in the hotel, and he's saying, no, Dave, he's not fighting. He's in a bit of a tangle. So this morning I've gone down first thing to see him, because his promoter's still saying, yes, he's going to fight. I've gone down, I've seen the kid for myself. He looks in great shape, he's fit, he's healthy, he's bright-eyed. He's not one of these Africans that come over that you look and you think, he's just going to fall over in a minute. He looked well, apart from that he can't move his left arm. His left arm's basically just by his side, and he's in agony with it.
No.
And he can't fight.
I mean, this is extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when we hear all sorts of stories about, you know, fights, and there's a little bit of skullduggery from time to time, but this just sounds exceptionally unfortunate. Dare I ask,
it's unbelievable.
How did he slip in the toilets? What was he doing?
I don't know. Well, he's very broken English when he speaks. He speaks a bit of English, but I was trying to get him to explain how he's fallen over in the toilet. Now, I think the toilet it must have been wet, and I don't know whether he's got good grips on his trainers from Ghana. I don't know what the crack is, but he's gone over, and he's genuinely upset. I mean, and because I thought, is he playing on it? And so I've kind of said to him, listen, people over here are going to think that you've bottled it, and obviously he didn't understand that. He said what? So I said, people are going to think that you're afraid of Max Hughes, and he got really irate about it. He says I fought Ricky Burns, I have no fear for Ricky Burns, why am I going to fear this man, this boy, he called him. He was here to win, and he said, I'm here to win, I'm not just here to pick up the money. Which, to be fair, if he was here just to pick up the money, he would have still got in the ring.
Yeah,
gone over straight away, and the fight's over. And we've seen that a lot of times in British rings when foreign fighters come over. They go over and you look at it and you think, what's happened here? So he could have done that, but he turned around and him himself has said, no, I'm here to win. I want to win the fight. Give me 1 month and we'll do it. That's what he said to me. He's asked me for 1 month. So, you know, the fight's off. The promoter out there, I'm not very happy with, because he's telling me that he can make him fight if he wants him to fight. Now, I'm not going to do that. You know, I've the kid's here, he wants to win. But also, I'm not going to con the guys that have come to my show and watching Cold World Television, knowing that there's a guy in there that's going to fall over at any second. And it's his jabbing hand as well, so it's blatant. He can't throw anything. He's just going to be throwing backhands. So the fight's off, and I'm searching for a replacement as we speak.
Right, searching for a replacement as we speak.
Yeah.
What about the idea then of this fight in a month then? Or, well, it could be longer now. There's the fight tomorrow, well, anyway, for Hughes. So could you then fight this guy again in a month, 6 weeks?
Yeah, the only problem, I could do this for our next Sheffield show, which will be September. I could do it for that. But the only problem is I've then got to deal with this promoter again, who's been very, very difficult to deal with. Really difficult to deal with. It's one thing dealing with difficult promoters, but then dealing with difficult promoters that speak very broken English. You know, I deal with Russians, I deal with a lot of different nationalities, but the Africans are always the most hardest to work with. I've dealt with them for Haymaker when making fights, Commonwealth title fights with people like George Groves in the past, and dealing on this fight, it's been very, very difficult. So much stress. So it means me dipping my toes back into that, and I'm a little bit a little bit off put by that. So I'm not sure.
I mean, this problem hasn't been the only problem, has it? I'm afraid you've had the full gambit, really, of issues, really. Junior Witter.
Yeah.
What's happened to him? I mean, pulling out on Twitter. What happened there?
I know. I hate that. I think that's a pet peeve that is for mine. I think if you're going to pull out of a fight, do it the proper way where you tell your manager tells the promoter or the manager of the other fighter. I find out on Twitter that Junior's saying, I'm gutted that I can't make this fight, when somebody tweeted him about the fight. And it's like, well, what, you've been around the game for long enough, you should know better than that. So he pulled out. I spoke to John straight away, his manager straight away, John Ingle, and he said, no, as far as I know, he's fighting. He dropped a radiator on his head or something like that, moving a radiator, cut his scalp, but it was glued together. And John said, I spoke to him last night, it was fine. But then the morning he's tweeted this, so then he's gone back to him, and John says that he just said, no, it's opened up again and he didn't want to fight. But then I see he's scheduled to fight 8 days later. Now, usually, you know, if you've got a bit of a cut that's that bad that, you know, you don't want to be fighting, then 8 days is a little bit of a short, bit of a risk. But so be it, you know, that's what he's chosen to do, and that's what will happen. And, you know, it just makes me think, well, why would I want to waste my time putting somebody like Junior Witter on my shows now? It's not, you know, it's nothing that I'd be interested in doing again.
Where do you think he is then? Because obviously we've known Junior for a long time. He's been in this studio many times. We've spoken about him in glowing terms. And fans will want to know, just in terms of his career, where do you think he is right now as a statesman, if you like, as a senior boxer?
He's a fighter now that the younger prospects are probably looking at and thinking, I can make a bit of a name for myself. That's what we did with Jerome Wilson. You know, as far as I'm concerned, Junior will be fighting a guy that's got speed that can match him. You know, in fact, Jerome has got world class speed. That's one thing he's got, and nobody can deny that. Whether about his ability, what he can do, the levels he's boxing, it doesn't matter. He's got world class speed, and everybody that's ever been in the ring with him has always said the same thing. You know, now you put that in with somebody that's, you know, in advanced years, and then that can be a telling factor. So I made that fight. For me, it was a 50-50 fight. You know, a lot of people would have thought, oh, Junior's too good, he's too experienced, blah, blah, blah. But then there's the element of Jerome's, you know, youth and speed. And Jerome can bang a bit as well. So for me, that was a 50-50 fight, and that's why I made it. And I think that's where Junior is at the moment. You know, he's not at the top of his game anymore, which is obvious. He's had a fantastic career. But it comes to everybody, you know. It comes to everybody when you get to a certain age that you're not as good as what you was, and you can't box at the level that you did do before, and maybe operate as well as he did. There's always a certain style that you're going to look good against, and for somebody like Junior, you've got guys that are just going to plod forward, and he can look great all day long. But somebody like Jerome Wilson's not a plod forward kind of guy that's slow plodding. Jerome's fast, so that would always give him problems.
We are talking a lot about problems. However, you do have a card that has a lot of fighters on it. Young fighters. Who can fans look forward to seeing? Aside from Chad Gaynor, of course. But who are we looking at? Who are the prospects here?
Well, Jerome's fighting on the bill against Serge Mbomo, who fights out of Glen Rosa gym. So it's a bit of a Sheffield derby. I've just seen him at the weigh-in. And this guy, he boxed in the Olympic Games for Cameroon. And Glyn's took him under his wing.
Yeah, he's the guy seeking. It was an asylum seeker, wasn't he? I remember Glyn telling me about that. Yes, very interesting.
Yeah, so he's had two professional fights now, and he's won them both. He went over into London, boxed the home kid, and did a right job on him. So this is a live fight, and he's a fit, strong kid. We've just seen the weigh-in now. Jerome Wilson is in fantastic shape. He always is. But this kid's in great shape as well.
Right. Like, oh dear! From his point of view,
it is a really good matchup, and that could be the fight of the night. I mean, Anwar and Gaynor's going to be cracking over 10. But this is a sixth round. I think this is going to be a really good fight. You've got two hungry guys that are fighting for Sheffield Pride. Really, it's going to be cracking. Also, we've got Ryan Fields. I like Ryan Fields. He's an old school fighter. You know, he's one of these guys that'll box at home but also take fights away. He boxed an Olympian out in Denmark, had a very close fight, lost on points, but he impressed Sauland, the promoters, that much that they've had him out there sparring again since.
Right.
And they want him out there quite regular, and the trainer out there, you know, loves him, and he's a former world champion, Joey Gamache. They really rate the kid. So Ryan's fighting on the bill. He's done over 100 tickets. He's always got a great following. We've got Lee Appleyard, who's making his debut from Rotherham. Lewis Rutherford, who's back after quite a bit of time out, time in America training and sparring. You know, we've got they're the main local sort of kids that are on the bill.
It would be remiss of me not to ask about Curtis. Obviously, he's got the fight in Scotland coming up, hasn't he? Preparations for that going well?
Yeah, we just, myself, Curtis and Ryan were up in Glasgow yesterday for the press conference, and everybody up there is excited. They're excited. They can't wait for the fight. The turnout for the press conference was fantastic. You know, they know that in Curtis and Willie Limond, you've got two hardened professionals that have not had things given to them. They've had losses, they've come back, they've kept going, they've won titles. And neither of them's one are going to give up their belt. The thing about Curtis is what I've said to him, what I'd like him to be mentally is put his belt away, forget about his belt, forget the fact that he's a British champion. He's now going for the Commonwealth title. So in Curtis's eyes, in our eyes, he's the challenger. So he's got that hunger, he's got that motivation. Rather than just defending, he's the challenger. So he's got something to go out there and get and to gain. But it's going to be a really good fight because Willie's a tough, tough man. I mean, he's fought Eric Morales. You know, he's fought the people at the top of the game. So, you know, it's going to be... It's nothing that's going to faze Willie. And also, we're going to have about 6,000-7,000 screaming Scotsmen. You know, I've been in the corner with, you know, I've been lucky to be in the corner with Ricky Burns when the crowd's going ballistic and everything. But I've been on Ricky Burns' side in his corner. You know, I'm going to be in the opposite corner this time. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be there supporting the away fighter who happens to be an Englishman. So it's going to be quite hostile. But I think they've got respect for Curtis because of what he's done. I think the Scots like grafters. You know, they're maybe not so much big fans of the Flash, but they like grafters, good, honest pros. And that's what Curtis is.
Because he's going through almost this continual, I suppose, Indian summer, really, for want of a better way of describing it, in the fact that we've all thought for probably 3 years that each fight's going to be his last.
Yeah.
And it continues, actually, not to just roll on and get better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you go back to when he won the English title, everyone thought that was his world title. I mean, the reaction of us when he won it, that was like when, you know, he won a WBC world title in America. You know, the way that we was carrying off, it was fantastic. It was like, you know, now you've proved it, you know, it was worth doing what you did. But for him to go and win a British title is just another level. It's just, you know, stuff that dreams are made of and fairy tales are made of, and stuff that you can say to kids out there who people say that you can't do this, you can't do that. Say, well, look at Curtis Woodhouse. He did it. So there's no reason why you can't do it. Because believe it or not, Curtis, when he came to me, he's in the top five of the worst kids that ever walked through my gym door. You know, he was terrible. He really was. He was just a rubbish kid. But he had this massive drive and determination and will to win and will to succeed and will to improve. You know, he'd spar with Kell Brook, he'd spar with Ryan Rose and get absolutely hammered. But then next day, being, are we sparring? And he learnt through sparring with people like that. You know, I sent him away to spar with Ricky Burns, and the same thing. Day one, he's ringing me up saying, "Oh, flipping out, Davey, it's hard. Oh, this is hard work." But he stuck with it, and he, you know, and look at him now, he's British champion. And, you know, in a few weeks, he could be British and Commonwealth champion. And then after that, who knows?
And then after that, yeah, who knows? Tomorrow, Europe, the world.
No, listen, this is the thing, as daft as it sounds, this footballer could end up being a double champion and then fighting for a European title or something else.